I'm a member of St. Luke's here in Mulgaie, and currently in training for full-time ministry with the Church of Scotland. So please be gentle with me. I'm a student, so if there's any mistakes, just smile. It is lovely to have the opportunity to lead you all in worship, and I pray that you find our time together uplifting as we rejoice and praise our Lord Jesus Christ. I had wrote down here, what a beautiful summer day. I wrote this on Thursday, as you can tell. And it's quite funny that many years ago, I actually lived directly across the road from this church. Many years ago, I should say. And wondered what it was like inside. Now I have the best view of it all, I would say. As normal, after the service, you are most welcome to continue our time together, as we said, with some tea and coffee. And may the Lord this morning make his presence known to us all in this place. The psalm says, may your unfailing love come to me, Lord, your salvation according to your promise. Then I can answer anyone who taunts me, for I trust in your word. Let us worship the Lord together as we sing our first hymn this morning. Great is thy faithfulness, hymn number 153. Almighty and everlasting God, you are our refuge and our strength. You are the foundation that our lives are built upon. And as we gather here this morning, we come to thank you and lift your name on high, our Creator, our Savior, our Redeemer. This morning we come into your house with all our own worries, our doubts and our own concerns, to a Lord who also knew worries and doubts also. We open our hearts and our minds to your amazing, precious word this morning, and we ask that you strengthen us, restore us, and inspire us with your love. Lord, would you fill us with your peace so that we can share your love and grace to all those who we meet. Help us to see beauty where we may see imperfections. Help us to be kind even though we live in a world filled with atrocities and acts of violence. And help us to be forgiving even though we may feel angered and wronged. O living Christ, we thank you that whatever we do or wherever we go, you walk with us as our guide, sharing in our sorrows and our joys, knowing the truth about us, understanding the things in this world that weigh us down, and the hurdles we face that make it difficult for us to make the right decisions. Yet despite our sinful nature, yours is a steadfast love which has never left us to suffer alone. A love so strong that it never falters or fades. A love so deep that it cannot be measured or compared. A love so beautiful that it can only come from the one who we call the King of Kings. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you still keep faith with us, that yours are arms from which we cannot fall. Yours is a love which will not let us go, but which travels with us, serving us, trusting us, and teaching us to serve and trust others in return. Your presence has never failed us, but is always quietly waiting and softly directing in every situation we face. Light of Christ, awaken us this hour to the glory of your presence in our midst. Shine among us in such a way that the darkness without and within may be pushed back, so we may truly see what is real. And help us to recognize our sin for what it is. Enable us to behold the world as you created it to be. And may your light within us shine through in worship today and all days hereafter. Lord God, you are worthy to receive more praise than we could ever offer. But this morning, help us to dedicate our lives to you. Ignite our love for you. and help us to remember that we are all saved by grace and there is none other like you. We remember, Lord, the prayer you taught your disciples as we say the words together this morning. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory. Amen. We've got a few young people here today, or like myself, young at heart. So who's happy to be finished school? All the teachers' hands are up in the air. And as it's the summer, you may be going away on holiday and you will need to pack a bag with you with all your clothing, all your books. If you're like me, all your sweeties that you sneak in. And I've started packing my bag for my holidays, but I'm not great at packing. I'm what my wife says, a typical man. I don't know what to pack. But I've brought what I've got so far. Shall I show you and see what I've got so far? Let me come down and show you what I've got. It's not the best bag to start packing with, admittedly, but... So, I'll go through what I've got so far, and you can tell me if you think this is good that I've packed this, okay? Well, we'll start off easy. I've got toothpaste. That's okay. And you can make a wee fire engine out of it, apparently, so I'm going to make that on the plane. Bit of a see. I've got bubbles. Not sure about that, but you never know. Oh, everybody likes this. Tea bags. Everybody takes their tea bags with them. What else have I got in here? Oh, I've got one sock. Not even my size, but I've got one sock. That's not very useful. Let's see. Oh, this is useful. Sunscreen. We've all got to take that with us. Now, let's see. What else have I got? Oh, so I've got the world. What's this? Do you know what this is? So it's an armband with a lovely animal on it. And I want to tell you something. This helps you float when you go in the water. So you don't get into trouble when you're swimming. I can't swim very well. So I have to wear these. I look a bit foolish. But I wear them because that's the kind of dad I am. And what's in the middle of it? So you've got this little bit here. Do you know what that little bit is? This little bit here. Yeah, absolutely. So this is the little bit. It's like a little valve that you put air into it. And I want to tell you a little story about that. What's inside that plastic tube is air. And air is all around us. It doesn't cost us anything. But it works really well inside of that, and it keeps you afloat. Now, what do you think would happen if I filled this with, let's say, chocolate or sand? Do you think it would work as well? Do you think I would float, or do you think I would sink? I'm probably going to sink anyway, even with it on it, to be honest. But I always say the inner tube, this little tube here, it's like our minds and our bodies. It works well when we fill it with good things. So this will work the best when I put air inside of it. And some of those good things that we need to fill ourselves with are all around us. And one of those things that we fill ourselves with is love. When we are loved for and cared for, we feel and we live better. Another thing that's good for us and for inside of us is learning about God, how he wants us to live. And that can help us from sinking into trouble, can help us stay on top of the water. And a third thing that's really good for us is prayer. And prayer helps us to know that God is always there for us. So when I'm in the water and I feel that I'm going to sink, I'm going to pray. Prayer helps us to keep floating on top of the water. So see, if you go swimming over the summer and you see one of these things, you can think about how silly I am, firstly, but you can think about this armband, or if you've got a float in your holidays, you can think about all the things that are inside of you and all the things that keeps you from sinking. like love, God, and prayer. And the most important thing your holidays is have fun. You're off school. My wife's a teacher. Great. I get 6 weeks of peace. It's fantastic. Enjoy your holidays. Let's sing our next hymn together, shall we? Lord, I lift your name on high. Mission Praise 881. We open our Bibles this morning to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 4. And we're going to read this morning from verses 35 to 41. That's page 1006 in the Pew Bibles. That's Mark chapter 4, verses 35 to 41, page 1006. Jesus calms the storm. That day when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." And may the Lord bless that reading of his holy words to our hearts this morning. And before we look at this amazing piece of scripture from the book of Mark in a little bit more detail, let us come together and lift our voices in praise once more as we sing our next hymn. Jesus, Lover of My Soul, hymn number 490. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful passage of your word that should encourage our own faith. And we ask that you now allow our hearts to be open and help us to focus on you during our short time together. Let us this morning discover the one who calms the storm, the one that even the wind and the waves obey him, the one that has control over every being and event of our life. Amen. I am not afraid to admit there have been many times in my life when I have wondered if the Lord was actually with me, or if he has simply got fed up with my sinfulness and constant bad choices. At some point in our life, whether it be during times of difficult relationships, a breakdown in our home life, or feelings in our health, we may have all at some point questioned, even for a brief moment, if God is really there for us. We may not like to admit it, as we may feel it makes us seem like we have doubts or shows us to lack faith. And whilst it does neither of these things, what it does show is that we are nothing more mere than human beings. And it is at these difficult times when the Lord is there more than ever. When the disciples clambered into that waiting boat in our reading this morning, there was certainly no sign of what was to come. The weather was extremely pleasant, and their boat gently rocked with the light breeze. And we do not know how long into the journey it took, but when the disciples looked, Jesus was asleep in the stern, absolutely exhausted from the day's events. Here we are told our awesome Saviour, Creator of the heavens and the earth, God manifested in the flesh. Here in our story, we observed his humanity. Our tireless God knew what it was like to be tired. And I love what John MacArthur, the evangelist, says, and I quote, just before we see one of the greatest demonstrations of his deity, we see a touching picture of his humanness. He was in the stern asleep on the pillow. And I love the idea that this Redeemer of ours, this Saviour of ours, knows what it's like to be tired, knows what it's like to be weary, and knows what it's like when we feel sorrow. The sea being crossed by Jesus and his followers was the Sea of Galilee. So the area they are moving on to would be the present-day Jordan. This would take him into territory controlled by the Gentiles, pointing to the eventual expansion of Jesus' message and community beyond Jews and to the Gentile world. And to know if there had been such a thing as a weather report for the Galilee area for that particular day, in all likelihood, it would have sounded something like this. The day will start with clear skies and a light, gentle breeze stretching into late afternoon, replaced with violent thunderstorms, sea conditions raging and ferocious, sailing ill-advised. It had been a challenging and long day for Jesus and his followers. The multitude who followed him drew the preaching from him, and numerous parables flowed from his lips. But there was to be no letting up for Jesus in the evening. Unknown to the disciples, Jesus knew there was a man on the opposite shore of Galilee, a man who was tormented, a man who had a storm in his life caused by a number of evil demons. His name was Legion, and his storm needed to be calmed. For this to happen, the Master needed to sail through a different kind of storm. So he said to his disciples, "Let us cross over to the other side." We read that the temperature was starting to drop, the winds were picking up, and the pleasant weather when they departed the shore was now gone. Initially, disciples were not too concerned. After all, they were experienced fishermen and were used to dealing with adverse weather conditions. But minute by minute, the winds increased and conditions worsened. The look on the disciples' faces changed from one of being anxious to one of being terrified. The apostles perhaps felt they had no reason to fear, as with them they had Jesus in the boat, and he wouldn't let any harm come to them. But Mark tells us the waves broke over the boat. Matthew tells us that the boat was covered with the waves. And Luke tells us in his account, they were filling with water and were in jeopardy. The situation was life-threatening. The situation was precarious. And here we are told, Jesus was simply fast asleep. And I have a feeling the disciples at this point of the story were torn from knowing in their hearts that Jesus would not let anything happen to them, to their minds, which was likely telling them, "You're going to drown." And we see that as quick as they were bailing it out, the water was pouring in faster and faster, and the boat was now riding very low in the ocean. And if the boat sank, even the strongest swimmers would not stand a chance, and it would only be a matter of time before they would follow the wooden craft to the bottom of the sea. This was serious. This was life-threatening. This was having a real brush with death. And I have discovered as time passes that storms are almost an ever-present in my life. And it doesn't matter this morning if you're old or young, rich or poor, storms come to all our lives. And storms present themselves in many different forms. There may be someone here today who has a storm in their life right now as they sit here, and it's threatening to overwhelm them. I wonder, is there someone here who is just about to enter a storm? There's maybe someone here who is in the midst of one, or someone who has just come through a raging storm. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what life is in this current age. You're either getting ready to go into a storm, you're in one, or you've just come out of one, getting ready to go back into another one again. It could be a storm in relation to your health, a storm in relation to your place of work, a storm even in relation to your faith. And I wonder if there's someone here that the waves of doubt are threatening to sink your boat. And if so, listen carefully, because we know the master of your storm. The disciples didn't know what to do next. And maybe that's you. These experienced fishermen didn't know what to do. They had tried everything to keep their boat safe and put every procedure they knew into practice. But at last, the ship was almost at sinking point. And then we are told that someone in the boat notices Jesus was still asleep. Amazingly, he was asleep as the storms raged all around. And I'm not sure what they thought Jesus would do. Maybe they thought, well, if nothing else, it's something, someone else to help us bail out the water. They shouted at him, "Master, Master, do you not care we are perishing?" And sometimes that's been my prayer when things are difficult and storms are raging in my life at every turn. My cry has been, "Master, do you not care about me? Have you forsaken me? Do you not care what I am going through and what my family is going through?" These disciples were perishing, and they also thought that Jesus didn't care. And here the disciples have a massive problem. Jesus, God manifested in flesh, didn't seem to care. And on reading this passage, I have been tempted to say that there's almost a hint of blame here. The disciples are in a dangerous situation, and they are saying to Jesus, "Do you not care? This is your fault. You're the reason we're in this boat. It was your idea to cross over to the other side." And although it was still relatively early in Jesus' ministry at this point, he has been explaining to the disciples all of the secret meanings of his parables. Hadn't they covered who he is and what he was doing? Or if they had, did they simply not believe him? Whatever the case, this appears to be another example of the apostles being portrayed as people who were fairly slow on the uptake to eventually realize who Jesus actually was. And maybe just like these disciples, I'm sure you will agree that we are good at blaming God when things don't go well. We're so quick to blame God for things, yet we're often slow to praise him for the many blessings we have in our life. How often do we blame God for the situation we find ourselves in? We often have to blame someone, so why not God? And I know sometimes that because of Christ's apparent inactivity in my life, I blame him for how things are going. Maybe you didn't get that holiday you dreamt of for the summer due to financial pressures. Maybe you didn't get the house you wanted or the job you dreamed of getting. How often, even for a moment, do you blame God for not appearing to answer your prayers? If so, remember this. More than anything in the world this morning, friends, he does care. He does care about that situation you find yourself in, about the walls you feel are coming in around you, about that issue threatening to take over your life. Trust me this morning, more than anything in this world, he cares. And when you step back and take a deep breath, you will see that too. Listen to the Apostle Peter when he says, "Casting all your cares upon him, for he cares for you." And if you don't remember anything else from this morning, I want you to remember this one thing, that the Savior of the world, he cares for you. He knows all your flaws, all your sins, all your problems, and he loves you. And he cares for you. It doesn't matter what you've done, who you are, where you've came from. Jesus cares. And just as he cared for those weary, battered disciples in that boat, He cares for you this morning here. And little did these disciples know, but they were far safer in that boat with Jesus than anywhere else without him. And this morning, in your storm and in your boat, he is there. And as someone once said, with Christ in the vessel, you can simply smile at the storm. And after being awakened, Luke, in his account of this event, writes, "Then he arose." And you can almost see it now, his clothes soaking wet as he rises up. The image of Jesus in the boat and then majestically rising up with authority and conviction. And we know from reading our Bibles that when Jesus rises, amazing things happen. So if you find yourself in a storm, hold on in there. No matter how deep the water is, how turbulent the weather is around you, hold on in there. Calmer days, I assure you, are ahead if you would just trust in him. And we often forget just who we have beside us. And we stress and we worry about what is going to happen next. Where will we be in 6 months' time? How will we know if we're making the right decisions or choices? Well, listen to a quote I read during the week that sums all this up perfectly. "I don't have a lot of time for worry because I accept that if I am truly powerless to do something about the situation or change the circumstances, I have an abundance of faith that makes me know that I can trust God to work it out. It's not about giving up or not caring. It's more about knowing within my spirit that not all burdens are ours to carry. And I refuse to sacrifice one day of my life over something or someone that only our Creator has the power to change." And you know, experience tells us that howling storms die out slowly. Experience tells us that storms slowly pass, reducing in strength as time passes. But in this case, the storm ceased in a moment. And looking dumbfounded, the disciples looked at him to hear them challenge them. "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" And the reason why some of us are fearful at times is that our faith can be challenged by a difficult situation, or we simply feel far away from God. But he is the one who can give and restore your faith. When Jesus is around, we do not need to be troubled. He is the one who promised, "I will never leave you or ever forsake you." And when your boat is sailing on calm, gentle blue waters and your life is going well, he says to you, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." And when the storms start to pick up in your life a little bit and things are getting a bit rocky, life's not going as you want it to, he reminds you, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you." And when your boat's filling with water and you feel like you're drowning, Jesus whispers in your ear, "Remember, I will never leave you. I will never, ever forsake you." I'm thankful this morning he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The one who has called you according to his purpose, that's who is with you in the storm. The storm is not the master, friends. He is the master of the storm. He is at the stern of the boat, and we should be grateful that Jesus is the captain taking us in his direction. And as we continue on quickly, he says to them, "How is it you have no faith?" These disciples have been with Jesus for quite a few months now. They had witnessed many wonderful things, yet here they are with no faith. But what had they seen of Christ to this point? Well, so far they had heard preaching and amazing teachings. No man had spoken like this man had. He could capture a crowd and had commanded the attention of all those who met him. They had been present when he cast out the evil spirit in the synagogue. They had watched him heal the paralyzed man. and watched his many teachings. It's safe to say the disciples had seen Jesus perform many wonderful miracles. And it makes you think what the disciples made of Jesus at this point. John gives us a hint to who he is when he says he is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. Paul calls him the firstborn of the dead. Simon Peter calls him and addresses him, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And as we finish this morning, how Jesus manages to stay asleep through the story is unknown. But traditional commentaries on this passage say that he slept deliberately in order to test the faith of the apostles. And if that is the case, then they failed. Because they were so scared, they woke Jesus up to find out whether he cared for them or not. Another explanation is that Jesus is sleeping out of sheer necessity. Jesus calming the storm in our reading is designed to evoke the story of Jonah. And it could be that Mark has deliberately laid out his account using a language that is parallel and almost identical to the language of the famous Old Testament account of Jonah. But as we finish, no matter what life throws at you and what storms rage in your life, always remember this story. Even though it may seem Jesus is asleep and has left you to your own devices, you should have faith and trust in him. To trust God when things are going well, that's easy. To trust him when everything is against you and your back is to the wall, that is true and utter faith. And during the storms of our lives, there is a tendency to shout out in anger or wallow in perceived feelings of abandonment. We forgot what the disciples forgot in this story. God is in our boat. God, the maker of the heavens and the earth. Nothing is impossible to him. Nothing is too complicated for him. Nothing is out of his control. Instead, we need to simply curl up to Jesus, cling to him, and ride out the storm. If Jesus is asleep in your boat this morning, go cling to him, because it's the safest place, friends, you will find. Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks that you walk beside us. We know you will never leave us or ever abandon us. No matter what storms are thrown our way, both as individuals and as a church family in the months ahead, we pray that you will help us to remember that even when it feels like no one is in control, you are there, guiding and directing. Nothing happens by chance. You know the paths we take. We need only ask for your help, Lord, and we can be assured that you will rise up in our situation and say, "Peace, be still." In Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Let us sing our next hymn together. "Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah," number 167. In thanksgiving, dedication, and intercession, let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we gather here this morning, we are blessed that we are able to enjoy fellowship and encouragement from one another. You have enriched us with so many gifts in this world. You have given us eyes to behold the beauty of your creation. You have given us hearts so we may feel love and worship. You have given us memories so we may remember and learn from them. Lord, we confess we have not always followed your word and chose other options instead. We have allowed pride to get the better of us, and we have caved into our worldly desires, even though in our hearts we knew it was wrong. We live in a world that can be challenging this morning, and we think of all those who need you now more than ever. Those who have lost a loved one, no matter how long ago, even though their hearts may still be broken, may they rejoice in the knowledge that their loved one is now by your side. We pray for all those who are lonely, those who are ill or going through tests in relation to their health, and for all those who feel the world has simply forgotten about them. May you enter into their lives, Lord, and guide them through these troubled days. May they come to know your amazing love, and we pray your light will give them brighter days ahead. We pray for this community and for all those who cannot be with us this morning. May we welcome them back into your house soon. And may we also extend a hand of fellowship to all those who have drifted away from our congregation. Let us encourage them to return in the weeks ahead. And Lord, we pray that you will be with all our young people over the summer holidays. May they be kept safe and enjoy their time away from the school environment. And may they draw, Lord, closer to you. We pray that you would guide us and direct us in the weeks ahead. May you walk beside us, speak to us through your word. And we give you our offerings this morning with gladness to help develop not only this congregation, but for all of the work carried out in your name, both here and around the world. We ask you to bless our gifts, and may they be always used to advance your kingdom. We ask this in your glorious name. Amen. We bring our time this morning to a close by singing one of my personal favourite hymns. Forgive our sins as we forgive. You taught us, Lord, to pray. Hymn number 486. May you grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. Now go forward in peace, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.